Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud.
Had a chance to think about some of the things that had happened over the past several years, and it led me to a story that I would like to share with you. When I had the opportunity to sit down with one of my legislators, we went to his office. He was sitting at his desk, and he had a can of Coca-Cola on the desk. And then we started talking about the environment, and he said how awful it was that CO2 was destroying the planet. So I looked at him and I said, would you do me a big favor? And he said, what? And I said, you got that Coke on your desk. Would you take a sip? And sure enough, he did. And then I put my head on my hands and I watched him. And he said, Karen, what are you watching? And I said, I'm watching to you to die, because that's what's going to happen. And he said, what are you talking about? And I said, take a look at your can of soda. And he did. And I said, what are the ingredients? And he said to me, carbonated water and Coca-Cola. And I said, okay, what is carbonated water? And his answer was, well, that's water with bubbles. And I said, what are the bubbles? And he said, air. And I said, no, it's carbon dioxide. So you just ingested a huge mouthful of carbon dioxide. If carbon dioxide was toxic, why are you still here? He never answered that question. And that led me to do an investigation. And you know what I discovered? I discovered that wine and beer produce more carbon dioxide than an airplane. Can you imagine that? Now, why have we not touched the wine, the beer, and the Coke industry, the soda industry, which spews more carbon dioxide in the air than a plane? Why are we not going after that? And then I realized, well, of course, who owns the vineyards? Nancy Pelosi and her nephew, Gavin Newsom. What a surprise. Well, no surprises after that anymore, because their businesses will thrive while we go out of business. This is Karen Schoen, and you're listening to The Prism of America's Education. And this was so incredibly horrifying to me to discover how we are giving a pass to those people who want to destroy us. And that is exactly what's going on as we see the Biden administration bring one executive order after the other. And some are very, very, very disturbing. And the one that got me the most disturbed is the one where he is attacking the farmers. Living on a farm myself, I realize that this is my private property and I can grow for myself or I can grow to produce. But nobody has the right to tell me that I can't grow. And yet, that is what is in this executive order. So when I talk about things like that, I also like to bring with me for you some of my experts. And Alex Newman is an expert. He writes for Liberty Central. He is an executive producer for The New American, and he also writes for the Epoch Times, plus books and many, many articles. And he has been all over the world. So I'm going to ask you, Alex, can you tell me how are the farms working in the rest of the world as this new globalization and destruction of the farmland is going to improve our food production? How does that work, Alex?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me, Karen. It's great to be with you. I'm a huge fan of your show, so it's an honor to be with you here. And I'm so glad we're talking about this subject. It's near and dear to my heart. I've been going to these silly UN climate summits now for my entire career as a journalist for over 10 years now. I've been to probably more than half of them, and I go regularly. And I've also been in recent years noticing and covering this global trend. There is a war on farmers. And I think in America, it's become pretty obvious to anybody who's unplugged from the fake media. You know, I think the Bundy Ranch incident really brought it to the forefront, right? There had been, I think, 52 ranchers in that region of Nevada. The Bundy family was the last ranching family that had managed to hold on. And the federal government sent an army of stormtroopers to harass them because apparently there was some tortoise or something there. I don't know. And people were like, wait a minute, what? There are 52 ranches and there's only one left? What in the world's going on here? This is a national problem. They're using the regulatory machine. They're using the confiscatory taxes. And more recently, they've started using the COVID hysteria in an effort to bankrupt and destroy independent farmers and ranchers and producers. It's a nationwide issue. And what we're seeing is a massive consolidation. We're seeing people like Bill Gates. We're seeing the huge agricultural companies. We're seeing foreign powers coming in and centralizing control over our food production while they bankrupt the small guys, the independent producers. And this is very strategic. Now, it looks a little bit different in every country you go to. If you go to Brazil, for example, I wrote a series of investigative reports that appeared in several publications, including The New American, including WorldNet Daily and others, about what was happening down there some years ago. They were taking hundreds of thousands of hectares, which are much bigger than an acre, out of production. They were literally dismantling entire towns. There were several towns where the military had gone in and ordered the communities at gunpoint to take down and dismantle their own homes and leave. And the official excuse for all this was, well, there was some Indians who lived here, you know, maybe centuries ago. And so we need to give this land back to those Indians. Well, I ended up getting in touch with one of the chiefs of those Indians, and he told me straight up, absolutely not. We never lived there. We are Indians of the Cerrado, we're Indians of the jungle, not the Cerrado, which is kind of like a savanna type ecosystem. He said, we've never lived there. Our ancestors have never lived there. We wouldn't even know how to live there, right? We live in the forest, not in the Cerrado. So that was interesting to hear the Indians who were supposed to be getting all this land saying that that wasn't their land. They didn't want that land. They had never lived on that land. And so I started putting two and two together and started making some phone calls and realized this was happening all over Brazil under different pretexts. They were waging war on the ranchers and the farmers and stealing their land and putting it back under government control. Then you go to South Africa, where they don't even, you know, make a show about it anymore. They just go and murder the farmers. They go and they torture them and they rape them and then they murder them. And you go to China, and it works a little bit different there, right? You have an all-powerful communist totalitarian state. And so they've built hundreds of millions of these, you know, cookie cutter houses in these ghost towns. And they just show up at the farm with a gun and they say, look, that's a nice farm you have there. We built you a nice apartment in the city. Go. And if you don't, you will have a very, very bad time. And so that's how they're evicting them in China. But again, this is a global phenomenon. And I think the reason why they're doing it, Karen, is because they want to completely destroy the ability of people to feed themselves without the establishment. And so in communist China, they're centralizing all the farms under the government. In America, they're centralizing all the farms under the mega corporations, which are in bed with the government. And ultimately, the goal is to completely centralize control over the food supply, because if you control the food, you control the people.
Exactly. And the scary part is that in America, I just read that the three largest landholders of farmland are Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, and Ted Turner. And we know what they feel about food because they are part owners of Monsanto. So we will be eating Frankenstein food if we choose to eat their food, that will be genetically modified, that has who knows what in it. especially since they are so desirous of tracking us. That's their biggest MO. They want to track and see where every human being is going and doing. Because remember, for those of you that do, Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, the new Green Deal, and all of this green garbage has nothing to do with the climate. What it has to do with is control. How can they control us? And as Alex just said, you control the people by controlling the food. So, folks, we are going to be in for a heavy-duty ride, as we already have shortages. Shortages of fertilizer. Well, if there's no fertilizer, what happens to the seed? It doesn't grow. You need to have fertilizer. There are shortages of trucking, shortages of you name it, and the prices are going to escalate as they begin to close down the fossil fuel industry. Again, why are they doing that one? Well, take a look at the owners of the Keystone Pipeline. Who are the owners and workers? Remember what they said? The owners and workers of the Keystone Pipeline did the tremendous push for President Trump, and they must destroy their enemies. So it's part and parcel with feeding us the rubbish that fossil fuels are bad for the environment, which they are not. And remember, Alex, I think they said that the solar industry and the windmill industry only, even with all of the subsidies and everything that was involved in it, is still less than, I think it was less than 3% of the energy needed for Americans to power their electric car. How do you power an electric car if you can't produce electricity? Nobody's answered that question. How would you think they would do that, Alex? What would they do?
They don't want, they want us to be in energy poverty. And this is very clear. In fact, in Germany now, which was an industrial powerhouse, they're literally rationing electricity now because they shut down so much of their power production under the guise of saving the climate. They shut down a lot of their nuclear plants under the guise of saving the environment and so on. And so now they're having to ration power in a former industrial powerhouse. And so what's happening with German businesses? What's the same thing that's happening with American businesses under the Paris Agreement, right? It's very, very clear. And this also proves that the people peddling the global warming hysteria don't even believe it themselves. So let's take the Paris Agreement as a good example. They tell us that CO2 emissions are bad, therefore we need to dramatically slash CO2 emissions. And so under the Paris Agreement, I was actually in Paris when Obama and the communist Chinese mass murdering dictatorship came up with this abomination. And Obama said, hey, we're going to slash our CO2 emissions by 28% in 5 years. And the reality is America's CO2 emissions are already falling, thanks in part to natural forces, just the free market. And so that's all fine and well if it's happening thanks to the free market. But what Obama said early on in his original administration was, we're going to, under our plan, electricity prices are necessarily going to skyrocket. And so look at an American business. Say it's an energy intensive business. They're manufacturing something. They need a lot of power. They need a lot of electricity. And now suddenly their electricity costs have doubled or tripled because they've shut down all of the cheap energy production in the region. Well, what's going to happen with that company? That company is going to look at China. The communist Chinese, by the way, promised to do absolutely nothing under the Paris Agreement. In fact, they promised that their CO2 emissions were going to continue increasing until at least the year 2030. Okay. And so an American company is going to look at this situation and say, wow, these regulations are insane. These minimum wage rates are completely out of whack with what the market would pay. The electricity prices are through the roof. Why in the world would we continue producing here and be uncompetitive and go bankrupt when we could just move this factory over to China, not have to worry about expensive electricity prices, not have to worry about these crazy regulations? Plus, we'll have slave labor. And of course, that's what happens. So our entire productive capacity is being shipped out of the Western world, out of Europe, out of Canada, out of the United States, out of Australia, out of Japan, and over to countries like communist China, countries where they have totalitarian autocratic governments that have agreed not to do anything. And if you really believed this global warming scam, you'd say, wait a minute, CO2 emissions from China are just as bad, supposedly, for the climate as CO2 emissions from America. And yet the Chinese are releasing way more CO2 than America. Why would we want them to release even more CO2? And you know, to be honest, the Chinese are actually producing huge amounts of pollution, real pollution, right? The pollution's so bad, some days you can't even go out of your house in Beijing. So clearly these people don't believe their own lies that CO2 are actually some kind of toxic pollution. The reality is, and you know, I want to be clear, I don't begrudge the Chinese their CO2 emissions. I encourage everybody to try to release more CO2 into the atmosphere. I was honored to be able to interview Trump's climate advisor, Dr. William Happer, who's an amazing physicist from Princeton University. And what he said, you can go find this video. It's still on YouTube. I'm amazed they haven't taken it down yet. But what he said was the Earth is actually starving for more CO2. He says the plant life on this planet is just desperate for higher CO2 levels. Actually, one of the things he said to me that I thought was so interesting was, and especially coming from like a secular scientist, he said the plants are designed to live in an atmosphere with 4 to 5 times as much CO2 as we have currently in the atmosphere. There's a desperate shortage of CO2. And then he went on to explain that's why farmers pump CO2 into their greenhouses, because their plants grow much, much faster, much, much better than they do out in the atmosphere where there's a lot less CO2. So the idea that CO2 is pollution is preposterous. But if you're a totalitarian and you want to destroy the Western world, destroy our economy, destroy our military, which is, of course, supported by our economy, and build up communist China and tax and regulate every element of human activity, there's nothing more perfect that you could come up with than the idiotic idea that CO2 is actually pollution.
Exactly. And CO2 is necessary because it binds the cells together in order to create other important gases, other important things that we use as human beings as we breathe in the air. We expel CO2, which makes humanity the enemy. I want to read you a quote. "The common enemy of humanity is man. In searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. All of these dangers are caused by human intervention, and it is only through changed attitudes and behavior that they can be overcome. The real enemy then is humanity itself." Now, where did that come from? That came from the Club of Rome, who was the premier environmental think tank consultants to the United Nations. Folks, these people are not playing, and it is their goal to decrease humanity. Why would they want to do that? And they're putting the things in place that will force that to happen. Alex just said, what did they do in Africa? Well, they killed the farmers. Well, if we remember back in our history, what happened when Stalin killed the farmers in the Ukraine? There was a famine because government employees do not farm. Farmers farm. And when you kill the lifeblood, you kill the lifeblood of humanity itself. And that's what we're going to be facing. Hold that thought, everyone, and we will be right back. You're listening to Karen Schoen. This is the Prism of America's Education, brought to you on America Out Loud Talk Radio Network with my guest, Alex Newman. Be right back.
Now, never before in our history have we witnessed the level of hatred that is now being waged against our law enforcement. While anarchist groups create havoc and overwhelm our first responders, these same groups and their corporate supporters are calling for the police forces to be shrunk and defunded. What can you and I do to make a difference? How can we stand up for what is right and to show our support? That's what I'm going to tell you about this incredible new platform. It's called ShopToTheRight.com. It's a new shopping platform that will help you find businesses that align with your values. They feature products made in America. They support veteran-owned businesses as well as our law enforcement community. This is a time when we need to stick together. We need to shop together, and we need to support each other. It's time for you and I to make some noise and stand up to protect our country. And one easy way to do that is to shop and give our money to companies that don't seek to destroy our way of life. So join the fight for liberty. ShopToTheRight.com. Support those American businesses that support law enforcement and veterans.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Karen Schoen, and you're listening to the Prism of America's Education. I just told you that Ted Turner was one of the people that purchased all of the farm, has been purchasing massive quantities of farmland. Let's see what Ted Turner thinks about the environment. Ted said a total population, total, not just in America, total worldwide population of 250 to 300 million people, which should be a 95% decline from present levels, would be ideal. Now, do you think that Ted is going to do massive production on his newly acquired farmland to sustain the people? Absolutely not. What he's going to do is continue to tell our population, continue to gaslight them, which means continually feeding them tidbits of information and then twisting it to make it come out the way they want it to come out. They will continue to do this. This one is the president of PETA. She said the extinction of Homo sapiens, that's human beings, by the way, would mean survival for millions, if not billions, of earth-dwelling species. Phasing out the human race will solve every problem on Earth, social and environmental. Think about that, kid. Think about that, people. These people are telling you in advance what they intend to do, and what they intend to do is to depopulate the planet. They're not fooling, and they have been doing this systematically, not just in America, but worldwide. How do they do this? What is the best source of gaslighting? I believe it's the school. What do you think, Alex?
Absolutely, Karen. No, there's not even a close second. And I think a lot of adults look at the fake media and they're like, there's the problem. The reality is the fake media would be completely ineffective if it hadn't been for 12 years of dumbing down and indoctrination in the public school system. Any reasonably well-educated person would look at CNN or even Fox News and would say, what in the world? People actually take this seriously? People actually believe this? People believe this is legitimate news? And it wouldn't work. It just wouldn't work. And so the problem really does begin at the earliest ages. As soon as they can pry the child away from his or her parents, the indoctrination starts. Now we know for a fact that in pre-kindergarten, in schools in New York, in schools in California, they're pushing transgenderism, they're pushing homosexuality, they're pushing critical race theory and the broader critical theory. We also know that even the government's own numbers prove that the government school system is basically an illiteracy factory. If you look at the government's latest data, the National Assessment of Educational Progress, this is like they call it the nation's report card. It's put out by the U.S. Department of Education. Every 2 years, they test what they say is a representative sample of victims of government schools all across the country. And their data shows that less than one third of high school seniors, these are people who've been stuck in a government school for 12 years at least. Taxpayers have spent somewhere between $200,000 and $250,000 on the so-called education these people have received, and not even one third reach basic proficiency in reading. Okay, anybody who thinks that's an accident, I've got really nice beachfront property in Nebraska and Kansas. We can talk after the show. But I mean, really, I've taught every one of my four-year-olds how to read. When they become 4 years old, we start teaching them how to read. It takes about 2 to 3 months to do a thorough job. And by the time they're 5 and 6 years old, they can read the King James Version of the Bible, no problem. So anybody who thinks that 12 years and $250,000 is not enough time to teach somebody how to read is not thinking straight. They also don't teach logic. They don't... Get this, Karen, another example of how crazy this has gotten. They rolled out these national science standards. They call them the next generation science standards. I call them the next generation pseudoscience standards. And they haven't been adopted in every state yet, but that's coming. It's literally developed by the same people who brought you Common Core, which has now been adopted in virtually every state. And under the next generation pseudoscience standards, you will spend 12 years in one of these indoctrination centers posing as a school, and you will never, ever hear the term scientific method. Okay, if your teachers follow the standards, you will never hear the term scientific method. Instead, at every grade level, you will be bombarded with idiotic propaganda about how CO2 is a toxic pollution. Of course, if you knew the scientific method, you'd ask some questions and you'd say, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. You'll be bombarded with propaganda about gender theory, right? They're now trying to claim that it's scientific, that you were born a homosexual and you can never change, but you might have been born a man and you can actually be whatever you want. That was just your gender assigned at birth. If you mutilate your genitals and take enough hormones, then you can be a new gender. So that's how bad it's gotten, Karen. And that is why the fake media is able to manipulate so many millions of our fellow citizens.
Well, with all of the technology and all of the spying that they will be doing on Americans, it is coming very soon that your children will no longer be your children, and they will be regimented and they will be controlled by the schools of the state. And that is horrifying. And as Alex just said, we not only lose our freedom, but we lose our ability to think. And this is one of the reasons I believe that the middle class has a huge target on its back. Because remember, communism cannot support a middle class. A middle class are usually people who are thinkers, problem solvers, and will come to no hesitation to point to a problem before they begin to solve it. And that is really part of the scientific method, which is why it's no longer taught. If you learn the scientific method, you can approach any problem. It doesn't have to be a science problem. It can be any problem because you always approach it in the same method. That's the idea of learning a pattern so that you can continue that pattern and apply that pattern to other things, which makes it easier for you to make decisions. So in the scientific method, you identify the problem, you pick out the materials that you will need to solve the problem, and then you go about trying to solve the problem. And you may do that multiple times because some problems have a really strange solution that takes many, many years to uncover. Some problems can be uncovered right away, but your ability to solve that problem is what is being hindered by going to these indoctrination clinics, where, as Alex said, you're learning nothing. I just found this quote, which I thought would be very interesting as well. And this is from David Browner, who is the head of the Sierra Club and has a tremendous amount of influence on what's going on in our environment. Well, what did David say? He said, childbearing should be a punishable crime against societies unless parents hold a license, a government license, to enable them to have a child. All potential parents should be required to use contraceptive chemicals to have a child. The government issuing antidotes to citizens chosen for childbearing. This is from the head of the Sierra Club. And I also believe that Holdren, who was Obama's science czar, thought that it would be wonderful to put chemicals in the water that would inhibit the ability to produce children. So there is a major attack on our future generations, and it's coming from the same people who are telling us that CO2 is a toxin and we have to get rid of it. And these are the things that are being promoted constantly in our schools. And of course, then they're being picked up by the media because the next leg of the stool is, after it's taught in school, it's then promoted by the media. Wouldn't you say that would be a next step for schools, Alex?
That's exactly what's happening, Karen. And I've got a book here in my office. It's called Agenda 21 for Children. It's called Rescue Mission Planet Earth, Agenda 21 for Children. And it's printed by the United Nations. It's used in government indoctrination centers all over the world. And one of the big themes in there is that babies are bad and there's overpopulation. In fact, they have a drawing in there. It takes up a full page. It's a bunch of Hindu gods sitting up on a cloud, and there's all these storks delivering all these babies. And you can tell the Hindu gods are really mad and they're upset and they're confused and because all these babies are arriving. And then on the next page, it has a quote by one of these population control nuts who says that the earth groans every time it registers another birth. So they're teaching our little children that Mother Earth is upset every time a baby comes. So children are bad for the environment. And to people who think that these views are fringe, as you mentioned, John Holdren, the top science official in the Obama administration, has been advocating this nonsense for decades. Okay. He wrote a book. He co-wrote a book with another one of these neo-Malthusian wackadoodles, Paul Ehrlich. And he says in the book, I've actually got some of the direct quotes here, forced abortions. Let me get you the direct quotes here. He says in his book, it's called Eco-Science, published in 1977. He says the world needs a planetary regime with an international armed force that would do, among other things, put sterilizing agents in the water and the food supply. They would take children from parents who are not approved. They would enforce sterilization on people who, quote, contribute to social deterioration. Does that sound like Hitler's National Socialist or what? And he goes on to say in here, and I'm quoting, indeed, it has been concluded, he doesn't say by who, because of course by him, indeed, it has been concluded that compulsory population control laws, even including laws requiring compulsory abortion, the murder of your unborn baby, could be sustained under the existing constitution if the population crisis became sufficiently severe to endanger society. Okay. Forced population control. This is communist China level stuff. And yet these views are pervasive in the highest levels of the federal government, of the pseudoscientific community. These people are absolutely nuts. And of course, this flies in the face of everything that God teaches in the Torah and that God teaches in the Bible, right? All the way back in the very beginning, God says that people should be fruitful and they should multiply. God tells us that children are a blessing. And so naturally, these totalitarians take exactly the opposite position. Children are not a blessing. You should not be fruitful. You should not multiply. You should definitely not subdue the earth because there might be a lizard there. And, you know, that's all our property anyways. So we need to be very careful. These people are not playing around. They are totalitarians to the core, and they think nothing about slaughtering enormous numbers of people.
Exactly. And that is why history is no longer taught, because if we knew our history, we would know that every communist regime must destroy their citizens. They must destroy all dissension. How do we know they're going to do that? Well, when that question comes up, I always refer to the 45 goals of communism, and I see if these are one of their goals, and guess what I discovered? Goal number 24, eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and a violation of free speech and free press. Number 25, break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. And the last one is present homosexuality, this is number 26, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. And what do all of those three goals always come out with? Less population. No relationship, no family to draw back on, always guiding the child that it is the state, it is their school family that will give them the things that they need, will give them the tools that they need to succeed. Nothing could be further than the truth. So before they eliminate and outlaw homeschooling, Alex, why don't you tell everyone what you have accomplished with your amazing children?
Yeah, and I appreciate it, Karen. We say often, deciding to homeschool was probably the best decision that my wife and I ever made. It is collectively, it is incredible. It's so much fun. It's so successful. It's so easy compared to what we're taught, right? We're taught that it's a burden, that it's terrible, that it's hard. And it's not just us. You know, it has nothing to do with my wife and I. If you look at the data on the broader homeschooling community, homeschoolers are light years ahead of the victims of government school. And in many cases, they are being educated at home by people who themselves are victims of government schools. So even despite the damage that's been done to the older generations through indoctrination in the government schools, they can still do a phenomenal job teaching their own children. And I encourage people to look at the data here. You can go to the National Home Education Research Institute. It's NHERI.org. And they've been collecting data and analyzing data and looking at the studies on this for decades. And what it shows is that homeschoolers are on average 40 points higher on the government's own academic achievement tests, which of course are designed to go along with the indoctrination in the government schools. And yet still the homeschoolers are blowing them away. They are better on every metric of socialization that we can measure. They communicate better. They deal better with people of all ages. They take less drugs. They're more able to stand up to peer pressure. They do better as adults. They're more politically active. They're more likely to own a business. They're more likely to earn money. They're more likely to keep their families together. I mean, it's just on every possible front. And then for the religious people out there who are listening, you know, if you're a Christian, if you believe the Bible, it's almost essential for you. You know, even back into the Old Testament, into the Torah, God is clear that parents are the ones who really should be the primary overseers of the upbringing of their children. You go back to Deuteronomy, and God says you should be teaching your children all the time. When you wake up, when you lay down, when you eat, when you're walking, by the way, you're supposed to be teaching your children all the time, not during the brief moments when Caesar is not discipling them. And again, if you look at the data, it's very, very clear, Karen. I'm on the advisory board of an organization called the Nehemiah Institute, and they've been looking at worldview for decades. They've been studying this. They have a test that they give out. And what they have found is that something like 80% of Christian children who go through a decade of government indoctrination, who come from good Christian homes with good Christian parents, they're married, are going to end up leaving the faith. They're going to end up leaving their church. So this is a crisis. You know, we wonder why America is becoming more and more communistic and atheistic and militant against religion and individual liberty. It's because of the indoctrination. And so I've made this a centerpiece of my mission in life. Actually, we founded a new organization called Public School Exit. You can find that at publicschoolexit.com, where we're working now with pastors and rabbis. We're working with parents. We've set up a scholarship fund to help people who really do need help to get out of the government school. But our view is that no child should be forced to be subjected to this monstrous so-called education system. And so any barrier that's there, we want to help break it down. And we've got a phenomenal advisory board. People can check that out. We've got people like the former Secretary of Public Instruction, right? The Secretary of Education for the state of Arizona. She went into this 4 years ago thinking she was going to reform the system. And she finally realized, like, you can't. You just can't. It's corrupt to the core. We've got to get the children out. And so we want to make that possible for anybody. We did the special report in The New American, Rescuing Our Children. I did the book Crimes of the Educators with Dr. Sam Blumenfeld back in 2015. So I've made this a focal point of my efforts. And I do hope that parents who are listening and that pastors and rabbis and anybody who's listening to this will get involved, because this is the front in the war. This is the front line.
You are absolutely right, Alex. This is it. If we can't protect our children, we have no future. And whatever we do now, if we don't do something with our schools and we don't take back our schools, then in 4 years, it won't matter. As these kids begin to graduate, there will never be an America that we know it again. Alex, I want to thank you. It has been a pleasure as always, and we'd love to have you back again as this progresses, because this is the roots of Agenda 21. It doesn't make any difference what they call this monstrosity. This is what it is. This is the government control of every aspect of production, distribution of all goods and services. We can't allow that to happen, and yet we are. This is Karen Schoen, and you have been listening to the Prism of America's Education.
America. OutLoud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. 5 years on the air, and we will not be silenced. President Ronald Reagan once said, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. America Out Loud Talk Radio. It's a fight for the soul of humanity.
Christianity is our foe. If animal rights are to proceed, we must destroy the Judeo-Christian religious tradition. And that was a quote from Peter Singer. He was the founder of animal rights. I pledge allegiance to the earth and all its sacred parts, its water, its land, and living things, and all its human hearts. And that's from the Global Education Association, the pledge, the new pledge that our kids will be saying in school. By fostering a deep sense of connection to others, to the earth in all its dimensions, holistic education encourages a sense of responsibility to self and others and to the planet. And that was from the Global Alliance for Transforming Education. Now, why would I be telling you this? Because all of these are part and parcel with the Green New Deal. And as that becomes filtered throughout all of our agencies, as Joe Biden has just done with his executive order, then our children will be replacing God with Gaia, G-A-I-A, or as we say, Mother Earth. When we come to replacing God, I always go and I look at the 45 goals of communism, and lo and behold, there they are, to replace God and eliminate God and the pledge from our schools. Please pay attention to the 45 goals. Make a copy of them and give them to your legislators so they know what's coming, because they lay it out perfectly. This is Karen Schoen. You're listening to the Prism of America's Education. And I have with me Pastor Rick Stevens, because, Pastor, how can we replace God with Mother Earth?
Well, we can't. And we mustn't. That's the short answer to that. But I think that, like never before,
that's the best answer. We can't and we mustn't.
Parents need to be more vigilant than ever on these kinds of things. And I think 50 years ago, when kids went to school, parents paid attention to what was going on, but they didn't worry about some of these kinds of things because these ideas were not prevalent, and certainly they wouldn't have been taught in school. They would have believed at the school that that wasn't their responsibility. But now there's a whole different perspective on that. And I urge parents to pay attention to what their kids are being taught. The kids don't know when they're being taught some of these things that they shouldn't believe it. They listen to their teachers. We send them off to school and tell them to behave themselves, to listen to their teachers, to do their assignments. That's kind of what we expect in terms of good behavior. The problem is when they begin to teach our children things that offend our deeply held beliefs, that go against our religious convictions, we won't even know about it because the kids are not attuned to that sort of thing, and they probably wouldn't pick up on it. So parents need to look at the papers the kids bring home. Whenever they do bring home papers, they need to have conversations around the dinner table and say, what did you talk about in school today? Parents maybe need to ask probing questions to help the kids pick up on some of these kinds of things, because the whole business of environmentalism leads to this outcome and this idea that there is no God and there are other ways we need to conceive of the earth being created and who runs things. It's rather bizarre, but we do need to be aware of it, and we do need to take specific steps to help our children be rescued from that sort of thing. It's sad to have to say it, but it's infecting everything.
And we should think of it like this. When you remove something, think of it as we're on a beach and you're digging a hole and you put a pail in the hole and you dig all around it and the sand is all around it. And then you pick the pail up. What happens to that sand? Well, there's a hole there, but it eventually begins to fill. And a human being can only think of one thought at a time. So if you take away something like God, then something else is going to fill that void. Something else is going to fill that hole. And what these people are advocating is that 50% of America, 50% of America, I'm repeating that twice, and I'll even repeat it a third time, 50% of America, they want to give back to nature. So therefore, they have determined that we, the human beings, should be living in pack'em, stack'em cities, and nature should be left to the animals. Gaia, G-A-I-A, Mother Earth, is now the god. This is a very, very scary concept for our kids. How on earth are we going to promote our values if they go to school and, as you just said, Pastor, they are taught, you listen to your teacher, you pay attention to what your teacher is saying. And now we're learning what they are actually saying is more destructive than anything else that we could have imagined. They believe that humanity is our foe, and that we should be eliminating the earth of at least 6 billion, with a B, billion people. And that's one of the reasons, I believe, why so little attention was paid to the elderly in states like New York and California and New Jersey. I just heard, Pastor, that in New York and in New Jersey, 12% of the elderly who received, who got COVID died. 12%. That's unbelievable. Now, why are they getting rid of the elderly? Oh, what a horrible thing to say, Karen. If you read their words, you will find the words that they use to describe the elderly: we are useless eaters. We no longer have a place in society that is worth anything. And this is what our children are learning. How are we going to handle that, Pastor?
Well, one of the things that we do is we teach our children forthrightly about the creation story and help them understand that God created the heavens and the earth, and review that with the kids. That's a powerful method for helping kids keep this sacred story straight. And for us to tell them that, sitting around the dinner table reinforces that. They may hear it at church or in Sunday school, but they need to hear it repeatedly from the parents, and that reinforces that. And the second part of that is to recognize that we all care about the world around us. In fact, God put us on the earth to take care of his creation. And so we all care about that, but we don't worship creation. We take care of it because God asked us to take care of it. And so we want to take good care of it, but it doesn't become our God because we take good care of it. I think kids can understand that. And I think that when we have some of those conversations, it helps kids process correctly and identify things. And there are other things. If you can get your kids out of the school and into a place where they're protected from all of that, that's ideal. And I regularly encourage parents to do that. And I know some people will say, but if we all abandon the schools, what will they become? Well, at the Florida Citizens Alliance, where we work to improve the schools in Florida, we're not abandoning the public schools, but we don't think that it makes sense for parents to sacrifice their children just as some kind of effort to maintain a presence. We're going to work to improve the schools. We're going to work to provide options for all students. We're going to work to counter these, what I would call crazy ideas, certainly dangerous ideas. But if parents can get their kids out, I encourage them to do that, because that is a far better remedy than trying to push back against what goes on day in and day out at school.
Especially now, as choice is becoming a big issue. Unfortunately, if you don't pay attention to what your child is actually reading and absorbing, then choice doesn't make any difference, because it doesn't matter where they're going to learn communism and globalization. That won't make any difference. We have to be aware of the programs that the kids are learning. And it doesn't matter whether it's a charter school or a private school or a public school, if the courses are the same in all, the location is irrelevant. So we as parents have to understand what our kids are learning. And I just got a call from a listener, and she told me about this program that her son was experiencing in school. This was a new one on me, Pastor. It's called GSA, and it is the Gay Straight Alliance. And apparently this group is going around to schools, working with the teachers to teach the children about gayness, and encouraging them and almost demanding that they attend this Gay Straight Alliance after school activity. Well, the parent was very upset, and she said, "What can I do?" And I asked her where she lived. She said she lived in Florida. And I said, "Well, then you are in luck, because I would go immediately to my principal and I would say, I'm not enrolling my son in this. He doesn't want it. I don't believe in it. I want an application for the Hope Scholarship. This is a perfect opportunity to use that scholarship." What do you think, Pastor?
Oh, absolutely. It's the perfect opportunity. And there are many opportunities for parents in Florida to use the Hope Scholarship to rescue their children from things just like that. A lot of people don't know about the Hope Scholarship. It's been in place for a couple of years now, but it hasn't been widely advertised and hasn't been really used as much as we hoped it would be. We keep trying to point people in that direction, because it is a mechanism to get your kid in a safe place. And it's really simple for Florida parents. It's there's no pressure behind it on you as a parent. In fact, it's designed to put you in charge of your child's education. All you have to do is report an incident that qualifies for the Hope Scholarship, and you can learn more about that on our website, libertyscholar.org. If people want to go there, we have a whole section on the Hope Scholarship for Florida parents. So that's libertyscholar.org, and they can find out how to do that. It's very simple. You complete a one-page form. The school has to give that to you when you report an incident, but they don't always know about it, or they try to hide it. You can decide which it is. So we encourage people to print the form. You can find that through our website. Print the form, fill it out, take it in, and present it to the principal and ask the principal to sign it. The principal is obligated by law to sign the form. They can investigate the incident. They're allowed to do that. If they satisfy the parent's concern, that's the end of the story. But if the parents are not satisfied, then they are automatically qualified for a Hope Scholarship. You don't have to fill out any kind of application process. You don't have to be pre-approved or approved by someone. The law says that you as a parent find your child in an incident that qualifies for the Hope Scholarship, then you can have the Hope Scholarship. There's a little bit of a process to go through funding of that, but it's meant to be parent-friendly, and it's designed to make it accessible to you and available to you. And I want to encourage every Florida parent who finds their child in a situation that they are unwilling to tolerate or that's harming their child to apply immediately for the Hope Scholarship. The legislature is considering some significant changes to the Hope Scholarship. And if you want to take advantage of that for your child, now is the time to make that application, because that will put you first in line for funding going forward. And you don't want to be left out of that opportunity because the money runs out. Now, we don't know if the money is going to run out. Nobody knows, because we haven't done this funding mechanism before that they're talking about. And it's still being considered. It hasn't been passed. So I'm not trying to tell you something that isn't so, but it is before the legislature now, and it just passed its first committee in the Senate yesterday. So now is the time.
That was very good.
Yeah, that is good news. And we weren't surprised. We expected it to pass. And we expect the bill to pass both chambers. Because of where it's originating, it was high level discussions, and so we're pretty sure it's going to change. There may be some changes to the bill as it goes along. That's possible. We're watching that carefully. But the key thing is that parents need to get their child into the Hope Scholarship program now, because once you get your child into that program, it stays in place for their entire school age studies, all the way through grade 12. They automatically renew it every year. As long as you stay in the school that qualifies for the Hope Scholarship, it's a pretty simple thing. Once you find the right school, you're not going to likely change, but the funding will stay in place. So you don't want to miss out on the funding. You don't want to have to wait in line for more money to appear. You want to do that now if your child's in a bad situation. And don't think that you're taking the money ahead of someone else. There are literally millions of dollars available right now as we speak for Hope Scholarship students, and it's just not being used. So don't think that maybe your child should wait and let some other child have it. Every child that wants it can qualify for a Hope Scholarship. And I would be very surprised if the money ran out, because when you're talking at $40 million and more, that's a lot of money. And I think every child can benefit from this.
Absolutely. And if we pay attention to some of the executive orders that were just passed, the schools will be forced, if they accept federal money. Now, there's very little that we can do about in Washington, but we certainly can pay attention to what's going on in our respective states. And one of the things that will be going on is that the BLM and the 1619 Project will be coming to a school near you as being taught as America's history, which we all know is erroneous and a lie. Now, if that comes to your school and you are not in favor of that being taught to your child, that would also qualify for a Hope Scholarship. So just imagine if you got together with a group of parents and determined that these should not be taught to your child. You can take your child out of that school, and you can even turn around and create a new school. Whatever happened to all of those wonderful church schools that we used to have, that we stopped having as our government decided that and determined that churches should not be included in this? Well, guess what? We need to bring that back. And what a wonderful way to do that with a group of concerned parents who would rather teach true American history than American history radical racism. So please, if you are in Florida, pay attention. No matter what state you're in, pay attention to what is going on in your school. It is the most important thing that we can do. We may not be able to fix our federal government. We may not be able to do anything like that at all, but we certainly can have a handle on what's going on locally. What would you say, Pastor?
Well, I think that you're exactly right. We need to be ever vigilant. And I would say to the parents, assume you qualify for the Hope Scholarship based on something that happened to your child rather than assume you don't. The Hope Scholarship is very broadly written. It's designed to cover many, many kinds of incidents. It's designed to cover things that happen at the school bus stop, on the school bus, of course, at school, but also at a school-sponsored and school-related activities. All of those things are covered. So parents should always assume first that they qualify. And I would also say, if you're a parent and you struggle to know what to do or how to do this, we'll be happy to coach you through the process. You can contact the Florida Citizens Alliance through libertyscholar.org. There are ways for you to reach out to us, and we'll be glad to help you know what steps to take. And if you run into a problem, we'll be glad to help advocate for your child and for your solution. It really matters that much. We must protect our children from these things, because the kids don't know what to watch out for. And sad are the parents, and I've met some, whose children have been affected by some of these crazy ideas, even in some respects, turns the children away from their parents. And that is the last thing we want to have happen, to drive a wedge between children and their parents.
You are absolutely right. We cannot allow that to happen. Remember, our children are our future. Pastor, we are at the end of our show. You have been listening to Karen Schoen, and this is the Prism of America's Education. And we are brought to you on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. This is Karen Schoen and Pastor Rick Stevens. Pastor, can you close us out with a prayer?
I sure can. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your confidence in us. You entrust us with children, a treasure that you give us. And I pray for the parents and the children across the country today, that you would protect them from these ideas that are so harmful, that you would encompass them, and that you would provide options for them, solutions to their problems, so that those children can be preserved and protected and have a life the way you always meant for all of us to have a life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.